You're listening to Golden Rule Radio, your weekly discussion of the precious metals markets and the markets closely associated with the metals. I'm Rob, alongside of Tori and Miles. Together we have over 75 years of experience advising on and brokering the precious metals. Now each week the three of us will provide a technical analysis of the charts and cover underlying fundamentals that helps move and predict these markets. So today, Miles, let's jump into charts because we've got a lot of chart stuff to go over.
Yeah, I think there's a fair bit to talk about this week as we're seeing some patterns potentially change. So we'll cover the weekly moves quick so we can get right into it. Starting off with gold. Gold up 3.7% since Thursday, since our recording last Wednesday, I should say. Currently sitting at $4,410, and it's almost like a month or so ago we said look out for that price. So we'll be looking into that here in a little bit. But before we do so, let's keep it rolling with silver. Silver up 5.4%, so about 5.5% on the week. Back up over $65. That's $65.25 for silver. Platinum and palladium, it's basically the same chart. They're both flat as a board. Platinum sitting at $1,750. Palladium sitting at $1,360. They had their big move the previous week. They're taking a little bit of a breather. Over on the paper markets, the S&P continues to inch up, although been pretty flat here the last week, only up about 0.5%. Back around 7,750, which seems to be where we've been dancing around for a while now for the S&P. And finally, the U.S. dollar coming off some negative news for the U.S. dollar. The dollar is back up at the 100 level. It's up about 0.25% on the week. So decent move up in both gold and silver, mostly flat across the board other than that, guys. So this sounds like it's a week for gold and silver.
Huge week, like really exciting. And going back a little bit longer, I mean, think about where we just were 3 weeks ago when we hit the lows.
Yeah, 39, 40 something.
Yeah, on gold. Yeah. That's a 12% increase in 3 weeks. Like this harkens back to 2025 and January of 2026. So this really could get some legs. Silver, that's a $10 move. $10 move in just, you know, a few short weeks, 18%. In silver. So I am excited. I'm optimistic, but at the same time, we know that we're also kind of in a resistance zone. I mean, you're going to start to hit your head on that first ceiling of this floor of the building.
Oh, I definitely think so.
Yeah, the market is divided. It could either back up from here or just kind of trend sideways for a while. But it's going to be hard to see gold really push higher into the 4,700 range. We'll see.
Well, Miles, I'm giving credit where credit's due.
I mean, it.
You totally called this $4,400 level. And we'll see if it holds. But this is the first place that you thought that we would rally somewhat relatively easily towards. And I thought, ah, that sounds aggressive. Well, 12% is aggressive. I don't know if you expected it this fast, but great call. You also thought that we might kind of have a little bit of a pullback if we did see $4,400. So we'll see if that plays out.
Yeah.
Yeah, we'll definitely see. You know, from my perspective, the way I look at charts is if you compress them all together, they kind of end up looking like rungs on a ladder or stairs on a staircase, which is something a lot of people will akin charting market world to. So you're basically looking for pricing areas where regardless of when it happened, you had a fair bit of volume there. You had some time spent at that price, or you had a fist fight between the bulls and the bears, so to speak. So yeah, that's where the 4,400 number comes from. And then when you start bringing in other indicators like moving averages and RSI and Fibonacci levels, it's pretty fascinating how those pricing levels where people have their little fist fights up and down is also lining up with some of the other indicators. So that's where you kind of take some of the tea out of the tea leaves when it comes to looking at charts. And you can get a pretty good picture of trend and momentum. It doesn't give you exacts, but it does tell you where you're going to see some, as we say in the industry, support or resistance at certain pricing.
Well, to reverse what I said a minute ago, I mean, bulls versus bears, Miles, we've got commitment of traders at 10 to 1 long gold right now. Mm-hmm. So there doesn't seem to be a lot of bears lining up to have a fight here at 4,400. I could be completely upside down. Maybe we are going to see a continued stair step pattern because the charts on both gold and silver show that.
Yeah, we were looking at that earlier today, Rob. And when you go and you kind of add up on the disaggregate, both futures and options for gold across the board, every category is quite bullish. The managed money, the other reportables. And we would even argue the producers are pretty bullish right now. The producers and manufacturers are always going to hold, or almost always going to hold, a short simply because they use that as an offsetting hedge against the physical gold that they have in inventory. You know, companies like ours do the same with our inventory. But how short they are matters, and they're not even 2-to-1 short to long. So just about everybody across the board is looking at some increased upwards pressure on gold. And what's been the M word of the year, Rob? Momentum, right?
Momentum.
So for the last 6 months, ever since gold peaked, it's all been about, okay, we had this massive momentum push up. We're going to have a correction back down. We'd like to thank the Chinese government for shutting down silver trading overnight, for kicking that off for us there at the end of January. Now we're going to have some momentum back the other direction as people are capitalizing and taking some profits. We've seen that across the board. Then you're going to see the market find bottom. There's a fair argument that we have done that, or at least a pretty significant interim bottom for the time being. And man, it really only took one or two little pieces of news here in the last week to see a nice little pop up in the gold price. So I do like seeing gold starting to stair step its way back up. And we can definitely look at some of those pending levels that I'd want to be targeting going forward as well today.
Yeah, well, why don't you show some of those levels now, Miles, while we're on gold?
Sure. Well, let's take a look at the whole picture first. If we go back to where we really started this drive back in the middle of August, you're looking at gold back in the 3,300 range. Do you guys remember that price? It wasn't that long ago. It was about a year ago.
Oh, you're talking about a year ago,
yeah,
August?
About 50, yeah, 51 weeks ago. Actually. Yeah.
Okay.
So we're almost there. It was Tuesday, August 19th is where I would say we really started this bull market push up. Tuesday, August 19th of last year, we're down around 3,300. We run all the way up to 5,600. And then we had this great little stair step, kind of three steps down, which sort of built our declining into the floor that we ended up putting in here through June, July, and the very, very first part of August. So you overlay something like the Fibonacci levels. If you really want to see the rungs on that ladder, that's a really quick way to do it. And lo and behold, we're seeing the initial declines of 50% retracement. We came back down to the fabled 618. We came back down and even went below the 618, but we really traded against it for a while there from the beginning of June until about a week ago. So that is our interim floor in gold. We talked about this last week. We had this nice compression. If you look short term here, just in the last couple weeks of July, we have compression. We argued last week we should be seeing a breakout one direction or the other. And of course, we have this time to the north side. So lo and behold, what are we doing? We're stepping right back up to that 50% retracement line you can see here on the chart. And you can see some of the fist fighting, that back and forth between bulls and bears. It's been a floor. It's been a ceiling. It's a key price here right at 4,400. So as we're pushing into it, obviously, the next thing would be we need to work our way through this mess. You know, the muck and the grime of people who have placed trades at a certain point before, they're going to be defending those positions if they're still open. There may be people that bought previously there, they're going to buy again. There may have been people who have sold previously there, they're going to sell again. So people do get defensive about certain prices, one direction or the other. So this was a pretty reasonable push back up, even amidst a continued declining market. So let's first talk about what does this look like if gold were to continue to decline. We haven't really put in a significant higher high yet. We've put in some short-term higher prices, but you can look all the way back to this high back in April, which is really setting the top end of the broader trading range. And that's all the way up at 4,900. So unfortunately, you're never going to hear me start hinting we're resuming the bull market until we're probably at around 5,000 gold and establishing some resistance or at least support there, pushing forward. So technically, you could argue that we're probably still in a little short-term pause here, but I actually wouldn't be surprised. We could see gold trail all the way up to 4,700 or 4,800 on this move and still be bearish. I think that's important to remember.
Short-term, yeah, short-term.
Correct,
cyclically
short-term
bearish.
Yeah. I don't mean the long-term multi-year bull market in gold. I mean, yeah, come on, guys, at this point, do I need to clarify that? Gold's been going up for 50 years. We know it's going up. We don't need to clarify that, right? Yeah, of course I'm talking short-term, 6 months, 12 months, 18 months. Now, what makes me nervous here is, what if we do push above 5,000? I mean, that's something, as quickly as we saw this bounce up, we could be at 4,800, 4,900 by September. There's no reason that doesn't happen.
Well, you saw that pace last year.
Mm-hmm. Well, and you've got a lot of Wall Street firms calling for $4,700, $5,000 gold by the end of the year. And silver, on the other hand, you've got Citigroup saying that they're expecting $75 silver by the end of the year. So there's some real bullish sentiment coming from the big money crowd.
Yeah, you know, with all the volatility and price action here that we talked about a bit ago, the ratio has just barely contracted,
yeah.
The gold to silver ratio. Silver's up 18%. Well, guess what? Gold up 12. That's dropped the ratio from 72 to 67,
yeah.
Which is still big. I mean, a 5-point swing, but nothing like what we were witnessing in December and January when silver hit that euphoric phase. And Miles, I think the listener needs to understand too that these climbs don't happen in uninterrupted fashion. And usually when they do, you're just counting the days before there's a big pullback. Like, you want that stair step up and down. You know, two steps up, one step back would be something that would be great for us to see right now, because some analysts even talk about the A, B, C, D wave.
Mm-hmm.
And we just arguably completed the D wave, which is the largest decline in these four cycle climbs and pullbacks. So we're now in the A wave, which is far more shallow of an increase than the C wave is. So you get this A wave up, you get a retracement in the B, which is what, Miles, you are describing, and the timing is unpredictable and the scope, but then finally you get the C wave, and that's where ultimately we would see us blow through those previous highs into the bigger numbers that people are calling for in 2027, 2028,
yeah.
You know, 7, 8, 10 grand. So don't get discouraged if you see a top in this A wave climb, if it is in that 47, 48,
that's totally
49,
normal.
Even 5,000, right? You could go back to 5,600 and come back down and then expect there to be a B decline. And it doesn't always follow that, but it's always good to remember.
Yeah, well, in the ABCD, that's Elliott wave theory, and it kind of breaks down to, you know, you can take it down to the very simple understanding of what you just said a second ago, two steps forward, one step back. A wave is two steps forward, B wave is one step back. C wave is just two bigger steps forward, D wave is one bigger step back. So we're all saying the same thing different ways, man. That's the thing I try to tell people about keeping track of charts, is you can basically boil everybody's investment strategy, if they're a chartist, down to the exact same thing. We just all say it different ways, but it's all just different examples of the exact same structure.
Well, if I can move away from charts for a minute to more fundamentals, you have global money supply at all-time highs. 103.2 trillion. So the growth of money around the world is going crazy. Margin debt on Wall Street is at 1.5 trillion last month. Again, huge margin debt increase. And that's propelling the stock market to the second most expensive valuation in history, far surpassing the crash of 1929 and only slightly behind the dot-com bubble. And there's big moves happening with gold. China is continuing to pull their gold away from London, putting in Hong Kong depositories and building support for their pending trading infrastructure, which makes gold tokened, basically making it a high-quality liquid asset, preferable for collateral. And so it's not just a reserve asset anymore. It's becoming money. They're not calling it money, but it's basically making gold money again. So inflation numbers came out this, you know, today, modest, okay, which further reduces the likelihood of an increase in interest rates coming up. But still, we're spending over $1 trillion a year just interest on the debt, which is at $40 trillion. So the growth of money supply and debt is exploding. We know what that's going to do to gold.
No, that's why Miles said we're in a 50-year bull market.
Yeah.
Right? Because nothing new under the sun. And the problem is the more they print, the less of an impact it actually is having. And this is global money supply. True. But the U.S. money supply as well. The whole point is to try to stimulate GDP. But if you look at money supply growth, you can lay it over the gold chart. You can lay it over the S&P 500. It's primarily responsible for those asset prices climbing. And they're not going to stop doing that. They're not going to stop creating money. And unfortunately, the bond market is the one thing that keeps them in check. It is the accountability partner. And the 30-year yield is at the highest level since 2007, before the crisis. And I'll tell you another weird thing is that in 2019, when the repo markets broke, the Federal Reserve started buying all this short-term treasury debt. Like, they were backstopping. So they were the buyer. And they went from zero to $325 billion in the months leading up to COVID after the repo market broke. Well, guess what? They came back down to about $195 billion. Now they're adding again. Now they're at $500 billion just since December of 2025. Why are they buying all the short-term debt? So that's yield curve control. Like, where would the yields be right now if they weren't doing that?
Oh, much higher.
So there's things going on, just like the yen intervention. We gave $5 to $10 billion to Japan to prop up the yen. Well, that's because they were dumping $100 billion in treasuries in a matter of a few months. That's really bad for our bond market. So you guys, there's a lot going on here. We could be around the corner from another major spending spree, like from a crisis spending standpoint, to try to stabilize markets. I don't know. We'll see what ends up happening. But negative news is hitting this administration economically. The stock market is not the best economic barometer. You've got the labor market. You've got continued inflation, which will be worse in August. Obviously, the bond yield's telling the story. And there's some good news out there, but I'm just really, really glad that I diversify in the physical metals, because the tokenization, you talk about those digital currencies, they're bragging. Our Treasury Department's bragging about how they've frozen cryptocurrencies around the world from our enemies and freezing accounts and everything. Is that where you want to store your money? Something that's like completely hackable like that? Great job this week there, Chart Monkey. Congrats, Miles, on a fun week, you know, in price action with the metals, and good call on the 4,400, and anxious to see what we do come back to.
It is a fun week. I don't get a week like this often. You guys wasted my time with fundamentals. Unbelievable.
I was falling asleep on a chart analysis. Thanks, Rob, for getting the show back on track.
Well, that's got it for me this week.
Well, I guess that's going to do it then. So as always, we appreciate you stopping by. This has been Rob, Tori, and Miles with Golden Rule Radio. If you'd like to hear more, we encourage you to head on over to our website. Always the best way to get in touch with us. You can find additional information, these shows, our podcast, McIlvaney Weekly Commentary. We can be found at McIlvaney.com. That's McIlvaney.com. You can also find us on Twitter at ICA Gold or Facebook at McIlvaney Financial. And as always, if you'd like to discuss your personal portfolio with one of us here at McIlvaney Precious Metals, you can reach us at 1-800-525-9556. Thanks for listening. Have a great week.